So the reading today is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 18. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed and at what the shepherds had said to them.
Right, Luke 2, 8 to 18. It is, can I just say before we start, how wonderful it is to have so many of us in one room again together. I think this is probably more than we've had together listening to a sermon in 18 months. Hey! Thank Sawston for the space, thank you for your patience, and thank you for continuing to wear masks. Let me pray for us as we come to Luke 2. Our Father, as we have the explanation for the event straight from the angels, please help us to take to heart everything that it means and how it should apply for our lives. Thank you for Luke's recording of this, for our hearing it read, and we pray for its application to our hearts. Amen. Something got the shepherds moving. Something got them to the manger with that baby lying in it, and something got them joyfully sharing what they'd come to understand with everyone they knew. Do you know what it was? It was the meaning of the first Christmas. They had to hear it in a word from the angels that night on that hillside in Israel, and their lives would be changed forever by what they were told and then acted on. But notice it wasn't, if you've got Luke 2 open, verse 6 and 7 that changed them. Verse 6 and 7 are the facts about the baby being born. And they're the facts that most people hear and think they've understood Christmas. The time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. And people think that's what Christmas is about. Mary having a baby, being born in putting him in a manger. Those are the facts, but they need an explanation. That's the event, but it needs explaining. A good nativity will give you the event. Joseph somewhat bewildered, Mary holding a baby, cattle feeding, trough for a cot, and a baby boy. But those are just the bare facts. What do they mean? Do you know what they mean? Have you properly understood? Well, they are the best news. There is a way of finding out if you've properly understood the meaning of Christmas, and it's in verse 10. It comes with the words of those angels who appeared to the shepherds on that hillside. The angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid." I've heard that before. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." You understand Christianity if and only if the birth of this baby boy is the best news you have ever heard in your life. It says good news of great joy for all the people. The angels explain about the baby that news of his birth will cause great joy for everyone. I want to suggest that if the birth of Jesus isn't to you the best news you've ever heard, you probably haven't understood Christmas yet. You may be joining in with the tradition and the trees and the tinsel and the turkey, but if Christmas isn't the best news you've heard, news that gets you moving and speaking it to others, then you haven't understood it. But why? Why was it such good news? What is the reason for the angels' excitement and the shepherds jumping into action? Again, it's the word of God from the messenger, that's what angel means, that explains. Today in the town of David, verse 11, a savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So it's good news about a savior. Christians understand Christmas as the launch of the great rescue operation. A savior, a rescuer has come. If you haven't seen Christmas as the rescue you need, the rescue the world needs, well, again, you haven't understood it. It's so easy to be deceived, isn't it? To think that living well enough, getting by, helping others when you feel like it, but all the time pushing God to the fringe of your life is okay. It isn't. We're living a lie if we take all the gifts God gives us and ignore the giver. That's one definition of sin, to take the gifts and ignore the giver. You'd hate that to carefully choose, to beautifully wrap, and then present a gift to someone this Christmas only for them to rip the paper off, get stuck into enjoying the gift, and not even look at you or speak to you a word of thanks or praise. That's what we've all done with God. God longs to know us. He beautifully wraps and sends us everything to enjoy, and ultimately the most precious gift the world has ever known, his son born that first Christmas, so that we might receive him and enjoy everything that he brings. And what do with what he gives? We take and take and take and have nothing to do with the giver. The explanation is that Christmas is good news about a savior from sin. You see the problem? The problem we have to face is our sin. And it's for my sin that I need a savior. It's for yours that you need a savior too. My taking God's gift and ignoring the giver means that I will face the giver's righteous anger on the day of judgment. That day is coming for every human being who has ever lived. And it is good that it's coming. You believe that, don't you? Final judgment, because it means injustice will be put right. It means God is good and that wrong will not be swept under the carpet. It means cruelty will not be got away with. It means lying and stealing and cheating will be found out and brought to account. God is the creator and judge of everyone and everything. And he is coming to act as judge. Now that is good news, but it's also fearful news, because I have to grasp that my sin needs paying for, or I will face that judge naked and accused and ashamed, and there will be nowhere to hide. I will be guilty. No excuses that will stand up. It is a terrifying prospect as well, but not if there's someone who's paid for my sin. And that is what the angels were telling the shepherds, and the shepherds would go on to tell the world. Listen again, verse 11. Today in the town of David, a savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Or you could go back to Matthew chapter 1 last week and hear the name that they were to give him. He will be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. How could he do that? Because he is Emmanuel, which means God with you. Yes, but how? How could the penalty for sin of the whole world be borne by one person? And a tiny crying, I think, away in a manger is wrong, bound to have been crying, helpless human baby at that. No power, no strength, nothing apparently able to achieve anything. And yet there are thorns in the straw. Mary knew it. This baby boy would grow up, and after a short period of teaching ministry, age 33, he would die. Nailed to a Roman cross, suffocating, bleeding, dying. not for anything he himself had done. He was innocent of crime. He would say, "I thirst." And not soon after that, he would say one more word. In English, it's, "It is finished." That's the word for payment of a debt, completion of a task. It is done. It is paid. It is over. I've achieved what I was born to do. It is finished. They're the kinds of words a builder can say when the last slate is laid on a roof and every snagging job has been signed off. It's finished. It's the words of a student when they hand in their last exam. It is finished. Or a businessman after months of work signs off and exchanges signatures on a deal. It is finished. Or someone paying off their mortgage, age 85 or whatever it is, heading down to the building society, receiving a payment certificate saying, "It's finished." That would be Jesus on a cross fulfilling his task. It is finished. And that means good news of great joy for all the people. The Savior who by his death makes salvation possible for all who put their trust in him. The judgment you should face, the penalty you deserve, the debt you owe, the hellish future you and I deserve and are slated for. It is paid, finished, dealt with. You are free, cleared, pardoned. Jesus came to be born, to live, and to die for our sins. Paid in full. So have you got it now? Have the lights and the music and the invitation and the present begun to make full sense? Let me suggest one more thing. Presents sometimes reveal your need. Imagine opening presents in your house this Christmas. And I don't know if you open a couple before breakfast and the rest after lunch. You probably have different traditions. But imagine a pile of presents. You've got your little stack, unwrapping the first one. And it's a... what have we got here? Dandruff shampoo. Unwrapping the second one. And it is... mouthwash. And I'm wrapping the last one, and it is deodorant. Your loving friends and family are telling you something by the presents they are giving you. Body odor, dandruff, and bad breath. They're trying to help. Well, our need is revealed to us sometimes. Well, here, clearly, when the present God gives us is born to be our Savior, what do we need if that's the present he gives us? He was born to die the death we deserve. The great Christmas present sent to each one of us reveals our spiritual need. We are sinners facing God's wrath, but we've been given the rescue we need. It's as if as any of us accept our Savior, we receive the gift of forgiveness and confidence for the coming day. I have a friend who got married on Christmas Eve about 15 years ago now. He's the guy from Christianity Explored, Rico Tice. Some of you may know him or have met him. Anyway, he used to do a lot of cycling. And when he got married, his wife said, "Rico, please will you wear a bike helmet?" And he is a big, roughy, tufty rugby player, and he decided he wouldn't. She asked him quite regularly for several months, and he listened but ignored her. Until one morning she said, "Look, Rico, if you love me, you'll wear a helmet," which somewhat raised the stakes. And he went out and bought a helmet and wore it. Only 3 months after that, he was cycling somewhere near Leadenhall Street in the city of London, and his front tire went down one of those grates rain drain, and he went flying over his handlebars, spearing the curb with his head. And he weighs 100 kilos, he told me. And his helmet smashed. The only bit holding it together was that little nice plastic bit on top. The actual helmet saved him. He is sure that he would have died if he had not been wearing a helmet. His wife's love for him, being prepared to challenge him, and his response saved his life. Now, when you're hearing about Christmas and realizing there is a challenge to respond, your life is on the line. 100 times, 1,000 times more impressively than that moment, Rico says. So will you hear the call? Will you wake up and stop ignoring the good news? The shepherds needed the word of God to explain the coming of God the Son. And when they heard, they were overjoyed. They went and they saw the baby, and then they went out and told everyone they knew. And what they said was the words that God had given them. This baby is good news of great joy for all the people. He is a savior born to us. Christmas is meant to be the best news in the world. It is good news of great joy for all people. Have you taken on board God's love for you in sending his son? Have you settled in your mind that Christmas is the best possible news for all people? And therefore, them hearing this news is our greatest concern. If it is, we'll still be inviting people right up to the last minute to the events we've got on board. Getting round people at lunchtime today and saying, please come. It is great news. It is for all people, and we'd love to share it. Come and hear the message of the angels explaining that first Christmas. Come and see the meaning of Christmas. It's more than tinsel and turkeys and tat. Would you like to read the Bible with me? We'll be unwrapping the gift that God has given if we do. It's good news worth sharing. Well, have a think for a moment. How are you going to respond to this good news for all people about sin that reveals our need? Perhaps pray. A response to God. Please help. Please encourage me. Please show me how to respond. And then I'll invite some questions. Don't be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people today in the town of David. A Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. We praise you, Heavenly Father, that when the shepherds heard that message, they went and found the baby, they were filled with joy, and then they shared the joy with others. May we respond to this news that you've communicated to us this morning, recognizing it as the best news in the world and longing for others to enjoy it too. Amen. So, who's got anything by way of encouragement or question? Emily, you've got your hand up first of all. Just have a think. Are there others? Well, I'm going to come to you in a moment. I will repeat the question so everybody can hear. And I'd love to hear. Go for it, Emily. Wouldn't the shepherds have told people about this baby and probably not believed them and thought they were mad? What do you think? I think yes, they probably would. But do you think that stopped them telling people? I think they kept going, even when there were reluctant, mocking, laughing responses. They knew it was good news no matter how people responded, and so they would have kept going. We heard the angels. We know this baby is God's gift to us. We recognize him as our Savior. And if you will too, your sins can be dealt with. I bet that's what they said. And I bet lots of people laughed at them. But some of them would have gone, tell me more. And maybe I'll go and see this baby myself. And maybe this is the fulfillment of everything God has promised. And they would have trusted. And we will meet them in heaven. That's a super question. Anyone else? Flo.
What Emily said just reminded me that really frequently people are told to tell that God doesn't put the responsibility on the teller for how it's received.
So Flo's observation is regularly in the Bible, from prophets to apostles to ordinary Christians, there is a responsibility to do the telling, but it stops there. How people respond is not their responsibility. It's between them and God. And actually, we've carried out the task, haven't we? If we've done the telling, if we've invited people to come, if we've lived by our lives an attractive way of saying, please come and see, come and hear about this great Savior. Yeah. I think we do need to speak. We can't just do it by demonstration. We do need to say, come and meet Jesus. Zoom question. All right, Tobes. Oh, what's up? Do you think the shepherds were aware of Jesus being the Savior from sin, or do you think they were under the impression that Jesus was the Savior from the Romans? The Messiah, the Lord, combined with the things that Mary and Joseph would have told them, because remember, Mary and Joseph had been told even more than the shepherds had, you are to name him Jesus because he will save your people from their sins. So I think probably a growing understanding as they heard from the angels and as they went and met the baby and recognized all the prophecies were coming together, and this was their Savior. From sin, primarily. But we have to recognize that lots of people want Jesus to save them from lots of other things, and they make out the good news to be a good news of rescue from slavery, rescue from debt, rescue from pain, rescue from war. And there are times when knowing Jesus changes your experience of all those things. But actually, there's no promise to be rescued from all of those in this life. The rescue that we need is for our relationship with God to be made right. And I think if they've understood everything that the prophets were talking about, the Messiah, that had to do with their relationship with God. And so I'm hoping that when I meet one of these shepherds and say, at what point did you understand? It'll become clearer. But good question.